I see a small town and I want to paint it black. No colors anymore, just small town radio facts.
That needs to be the open. Like, I'm editing this week and that's the open.
Well, welcome to Small Town Radio, the show with the biggest facts about the smallest towns. I am your kinda echoey host, Maxim, and today I'm joined by my number one co-host,
the Yeoman from the Canterbury Tales. Oh, yeah, disgusting. I didn't forget. I did not
disgusting.
Forget. Disgusting. No, 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 no. You think a joke's dead? Revive that thing.
Remind me to not do another podcast with a distance runner.
I guess so. We have too much time on our hands. Kind of builds up an interesting set of characteristics. But where are we running to today?
We are going to a town called Omarama, New Zealand.
Oh, I was going to say Aussie, 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 but that is incorrect. And that shows how American I am.
Yeah, right. No, this is our Kiwi. First New Zealand town, which is great.
I have a New Zealand polo shirt. I should have been wearing that.
Have you been?
I have not. But instead of wearing the polo shirt, I'm just nude. So, you know, pros and cons of it all.
I had a friend who was going to move to New Zealand for a little bit when she quit her last job. She was going to move down there with her long-term boyfriend. And New Zealand is very strict about who can move there and who can't. And just for the application, it costs like $3,000. And then on top of that, you have to be young professionals who are looking to have children. So you have to contribute to the economy and expand the population. You can't just go there and like retire or just live off of money outside of New Zealand.
Well, I know this isn't why we picked New Zealand, but I did look this up because New Zealand's doing not just well with the coronavirus, but remarkably so.
No, they're doing amazing.
This is from Axios. PM, Prime Minister, for any real Americans out there, prepares for COVID election as New Zealand marks 100 days of no community spread. 100 days. That is wild. And it's actually, I read a short study that I'm trying to pull up here, but I think, no, there it is. Okay, my tabs are all getting confused, but they just like acted super fast. It was actually kind of funny. Not funny. It's not funny, actually, in the slightest. It's funny in that ironic way when you're like, oh, that's irony, but not humor irony. But by March 26th, so I left New York on March 13th.
Yeah.
By March 26th, the government of New Zealand implemented a stringent countrywide lockdown. And this basically like went on for 7 weeks, and kind of by the end of it, they had eliminated COVID. Like that was their goal, to eliminate. They went from containment, which is what a lot of countries are doing, to an elimination strategy. And they, in 2 months, pretty much did that. I mean, there was a lot of guidelines to follow, but they did this thing right. I mean, if you're going to do a global pandemic, you got to do it right, you know?
Like they really knocked it out of the park.
The virus is doing it right. You know, it's really delivering its part of the global pandemic. New Zealand's doing it right. And America is a country.
Is a country with way too many people who all have authority issues. We have authority issues written into our constitution. So they're like, anyone who tries to do anything or tell me what to do, they're probably wrong, and I'm going to do my own thing and get everyone sick.
Yeah. Well, how do you feel about that as a anti-establishment, anti-authoritarian yourself in some ways?
I might be very anti-establishment, anti-authoritarian, but I am very pro...
not everyone dying?
I'm very much for the greater good, and I think while... I think the government, yes, should be mandating masks and stuff because we don't have another choice to like help eliminate this. And a lot of people are very stubborn. But I think in the event where we didn't have a government telling us to do that or recommending we do that, it should still be on the people to look at the situation and decide collectively, yes, we should be wearing masks, we should be sanitizing, we should be social distancing. Because if you look at this period in history, like, yeah, the pandemic, it's been like 5 months of this. But at the end of the day, like, how long was World War One and World War Two? And like, how long was the Great Depression? These horrible things in history that affected millions.
The panic.
Yeah, great the panic. 4 years of panic. Yeah, no, it's like honestly asking people to just be safe and reasonable for a year is like not a lot to ask considering how much we've gone through in previous generations. Like even the boomers are like, oh, in 1940 or 42, like 18-year-olds were storming the beaches of Normandy, or 1943 or whatever, 44, I can't remember the year. But they were like, yeah, 18-year-olds back then were storming the beaches in Normandy, and now 18-year-olds are crying about gender and stuff. It's like, well, those same people won't just suck it up and put a mask on and be safe. And our, like, the youth, because we're so hyper-connected, is much more aware of these issues and has, like, a grasp on, like, oh, we all should do our part because it's not just protecting me, it's protecting everybody.
Well, I want to fact check real quick. When did the boomers, are people born from 46 to 64? So in fact, the boomers that are saying past generations, they weren't even there. They didn't storm the beach. They were being born.
Yeah, boomers fought in Vietnam. Their parents were Greatest Generation who fought in World War II.
Which is the best generation name. Our generation names are getting weak. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. You should will you fact check the D-Day? I'm guessing it's June 6, 1944.
When was D-Day? What was that one more time?
June 6, 1944.
I didn't quite hear you because you didn't answer that in the Jeopardy style.
When is what event took place on June 6, 1944?
Oh, we gotta watch Jeopardy sometime.
Well,
what?
You have to answer the former question. So it'd be like this famous invasion took place on, what was the date of this famous invasion of the beaches of Normandy? And then the contestant would probably say something like, when is June 6, 1944?
This famous event happened on this day that kicked off Americans' intervention in World War II. Now, yeah.
When is June 6, 1944?
Ding, ding, ding. Oh, that's not the sound they make. He just goes, correct. And next question.
Do you have it up? Do you have
the date?
Yeah,
that's correct. That's the exact day.
Oh, nice. Awesome. Yeah. I knew it was June 6th. Which year in the 40s? I forgot. Because I know we were in the Pacific Theater first, I believe. Because of
I was actually in the Broadway Comedy Club first, but so whatever, you know, tomatoes, tomatoes. are we ready? Oh wait,
yeah.
What are we socials? We got before we go anywhere, make sure you give us a 5-star review. Head over to our Instagram, which is ST Radio Pod, and send us a town suggestion at smalltownradiopodcast@gmail.com. And if you do some of those things, we'll send you a sticker. So with that, here we go.
Yeah, send us reviews. Send us anything. I'll send you stickers. I still got a bunch of them I'm trying to get rid of. And when I get rid of them, then I can order even more that I'm obligated to get rid of.
All right.
Okay. So today we are taking you to Omarama, New Zealand. Where is this place? Well, New Zealand is the two islands in the Antipodes below Australia, well known for Flight of the Conchords and sheep and geothermal electricity and crushing coronavirus.
And where Lord of the Rings was filmed.
That too. So Omarama, New Zealand is in the Mackenzie Basin of the Waitaki District in the southern Canterbury region of the South Island of New Zealand.
Do you see the reference now? Do you see it? Folks, do you see why I brought it back? What region is it?
The Canterbury region.
Yes. Yes.
And I was trying to find out what state it was in, but I guess New Zealand calls them regions instead of states. And then regions are broken up into districts as well. But I don't have it in me to break apart another country's government and federal structure.
I think they should be called tails, to be honest.
Tails?
Yes, this is the Canterbury tale. Okay. That is the Lord of the Rings tale.
This is the Otago tale. Okay, population. This is a small town. 267. Did you happen to get the elevation? I kind of spaced on that one.
I could not find the elevation. I did look for it, and I did not find it. But I'm guessing we're going to be soaring to some high elevation with some of these facts.
Oh, here we go. I got it. It's 411 meters, which is...
12 acres.
Yeah, it's 12 acres. No, it's 1,350 feet, basically.
Oh.
1,350.
Okay.
Great. You want to start us off with a fact?
Yeah. So, Omarama is Maori, or I know I'm not pronouncing it correctly for locals and the indigenous people, but Omarama, as I was saying, is Maori for place of light, a reference to its extraordinary pure and clear skies. And today, with those pure and clear skies, Omarama is a primarily service center which provides local farmers and other residents with necessities and facilities such as grocery shopping, fuel, mechanical services, as well as a post shop. So it's kind of your small town ideal. Right? I feel like this is what I think about when I think about a small town.
Yeah, and based on the history, this place, it seemed like was a big sheep herding region, but in recent years has kind of, they had a lot of dairy farms and stuff,
yeah, wait,
but its demand went down.
How do you feel about that as a vegetarian? As a vegan?
As a vegan.
Yeah, do you have beef with that? Do you got Brock with that, bro?
Brock with what? Wool?
You got Brock with dairy? There
yes,
are dairy farmers? Dairy?
Yeah.
Dairy farmers?
Yeah. Can I tell you something that happened this week that's kind of hilarious? My girlfriend accidentally read an article about how these like leather handbags were made, and the whole article was just full of all these other animal products showing like GIFs of how they make them. And she was so traumatized by it. She's been eating vegan for like almost a week now. And she's genuinely like so sad that she won't be able to eat her favorite foods again without feeling bad. And the best part of this is I had nothing to do with this.
See,
she completely traumatized herself. She can't be mad at me. It's just like, oops, I guess you're this way now.
I just want to point out I'm just a superior person because I'm willfully ignorant. I can block that stuff out for a little bit longer than most, I guess.
Yeah.
That's why I am a superior being, folks. I just can swallow being a bad person when it comes to food. It really is. Like, it's so hard to, once you know where meat comes from and how it's made in this country, it's so hard not to be like, okay, I'm clearly in the wrong. If I'm buying like overproduced meat, like not over factory meat and all that stuff.
All of it.
Yeah.
All of it's bad. And to quote my poor girlfriend when she read this article, quote, "No living thing deserves to be treated this way." And I'm like, yeah, that's the whole thing. And she was like,
unless that's
their
kink, no kink shames.
Right. And she goes, "How do you like deal with this? Do you just like hate everyone and think everyone's disgusting?" And I was like, it's more like a forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do type deal. Like people just don't know.
Religious. Oh, I know. I see. That's the thing. We're like, I know enough. I haven't looked into it because, again, willfully ignorant. There's a willfulness to it.
The thing is, once you know, and if it truly horrifies you, you kind of realize, oh yeah, I don't have to be a part of this. I don't have to contribute to this. And in our capitalist society, you vote with your money. So whatever you buy, your money goes to that and perpetuates it.
Yeah. I try and get unusual cuts. For a while, I was buying only local stuff as well. Like, you could go and say hi to the cow before.
That doesn't mean it doesn't end up dead.
We are, no, okay, I don't have any moral grounds for this. That's what I'm trying to say. But clearly, I just wanted to get into the brock of it, which I did.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but yeah, this place used to be like a sheep dairy farming area, but their decreased demand has kind of diminished these farms, dairy farms and wool farms. And now they have an increase in new residents and visitors, mainly for anglers, like fishermen, artists, astronomers, sailplane enthusiasts, skiers, and general tourists. They got a lot going on that isn't just farming.
Well, they do. The farming has also switched over to biofuel crops, which is interesting. I mean, there's so much science.
That's a very New Zealand move.
Yeah. Well, with I mentioned clear skies up top. Omarama is home of the annual Midwinter Star Party, where A-list celebrities such as J-Lo, Jennifer Aniston, Brad Pitt, any other couples that, you know, the culture dictates they should be together are there. And people sit in hot tubs and watch them as they walk by.
Yeah. No. Yeah, so the annual Midwinter Star Party, they turn off all the local street lighting and all light sources are dimmed or switched off, so that way you can see the Milky Way. And they have, this place has the Benmore Peak.
Milky Way?
Milky Way.
I liked how you said it the first time. Milky Way. I liked it.
Milky Way. But yeah, so they have the Benmore Peak Observatory there, which is 13 kilometers north of the town, atop the nearby Benmore Range. And I took a quote from the website of this place, from observatory.org.newzealand.nz. Welcome to the website of Benmore Peak Astronomical Observatory, a community-oriented facility situated at 1,900 meters elevation atop the Benmore Range in New Zealand's South Island. Benmore Peak Observatory is home to the Southern Astronomy Reserve Project. This includes the Observatory for Schools Initiative and the 2-meter telescope project. BPO is a self-funded, not-for-profit, and is not affiliated with any organizations. It is not an astrotourism venture and does not engage in commercial activities such as selling merchandise or operating tours. The observatory is focused on research, education, and art.
I hear what you're saying. You're saying we need to capitalize on their lack of commercialism and start making t-shirts.
Yeah, next round of stickers coming up. Yeah, so they have like really clear conditions, great astronomy site.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw in a really tiny fact before we get to the other main fact here. There are 3 ski fields in the Mackenzie Basin: Ohau, Round Hill, and Mount Dobson. So they have some smaller ski resorts there. Ohau apparently is said to have the best view in New Zealand for like skiing.
Oh, I was going to say of all views. Wow.
And that's the tiny fact I have.
Yeah, the, well...
Of all views.
I don't know if this is the main fact you are alluding to, but I found it very interesting that there are strong gliding conditions in this area.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know what gliding is, it is flying a plane without an engine, which kind of sounds like a death trap, but apparently it's not. Basically, I couldn't figure out how these planes get off the ground. Obviously, they must have some type of propulsion system, but then these planes can basically find the right air currents to continue going up and come down, and it's safe to fly a plane without an engine. Very interesting.
Yeah, so this place is basically a world-class gliding location, and they have something called Lee Waves, which... I tried to research it and look it up, but the best I could come up with is it's basically a standing current of wave that always goes in the same direction, and it's just kind of the way the wind is permanently directed there.
I listen to the wind of my soul. That's my Cat Stevens reference in there for you.
And yeah, the gliders, I don't know if you probably haven't seen a glider take off though, but gliders typically, you actually get a running start and you just kind of jump off a hill. And because of the updrafts around the, because of the updrafts, you can tell which way you need to run. And then you run and jump and it just picks you up and you go.
I like... If taken out of context, it's a very funny sentence. All you need to do is get a running start. Whoa, let me explain gliding to you real quick. We're here on the top of this mountain, and what you want to do, no engine on your plane, no engine at all. So you want to get a running start and then just simply go off the cliff, jump off the cliff. Don't worry, though. Don't worry. Your plane doesn't have an engine. You'll be fine.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy that people do this, but I mean, people also do the wingsuiting down cliffs, and they also do speed shooting, which is insane.
That's a drug, it sounds like.
Yeah, no, it's basically parasailing, but they have tinier parachutes, and they'll jump off mountains, and they use the currents coming up and down mountain faces, and they parachute within like 10 feet of the ground, and they'll shoot through canyons and they'll do like flips and stuff in their parachute. Very, very intense sport.
It sounds like Power Rangers almost, that, you know, the 1995 intro when they all jump out of the plane.
Yeah, there you go.
But it's super impressive. I mean, knowing which way the invisible current goes, mad respect. Very, very much. Yeah. Very respectable.
It's lots of people die. It's a sport where the people who do it understand that they will probably die doing this sport, but these people are such adrenaline junkies that they just are like okay with it.
Well, speaking of people dying or the undead, I found the fact in his novel, The Zombie Survival Guide, Max Brooks of World War Z fame makes reference to Omarama as a site of a historical zombie attack.
Yeah, I found that. I don't, like a little aside.
Yeah, I was just like, I wonder if that's from all the gliders.
Yeah, right. I do want to bring it back to gliding though to finish this fact off. But basically, this place is a world class gliding location, and it gained fame amongst the pilots after they hosted the World Gliding Championships in 1995, and It is common for Omarama-based gliders to soar hundreds of kilometers along the Southern Alps each day. In ideal conditions, it is possible for gliders to reach distances in excess of 1,000 kilometers.
Damn.
Which is so far. Several national world gliding records have been achieved from this place. And the conditions just have... like record seekers and world champions come there all the time. They also have a local Omarama gliding club, and several commercial gliding organizations are based in the town. So I think if you want to shell out some money, you too could go there and jump off a hill.
I didn't look this up before, but I was like, you know what? There has to be more behind this zombie thing.
Okay, let's hear it.
And I Googled this. I'm going to read the whole thing because it's a blog. If you want to look it up, jackthezombie.blogspot.com. Came out in 2009, so no one's been fact-checking it for a while, I'm sure. But here's a couple paragraphs real quick. Wow, it's been a while since I've had something decent to write about, had inspiration. Well, the time has finally come, and this topic is about the road trip throughout dry deserts, Rocky Mountains, and green fields. Oh, the joys of New Zealand scenery. Fortunately, I will avoid these boring subjects and focus mainly on death.
Yo.
But not in the morbid gothic sense. So before we, my mofo of mother... and I left on our trip, I was reading a delightful book which goes by the title of The Zombie Survival Guide, which is the book we mentioned, Protection Against the Living Dead. As much as I want to equip myself with a machete and shotgun, limited car space was against it. And so my plan B was to keep this book and my wits about me at all times. I'm prepared for anonymous zombie attack, for any zombie attacks, not anonymous ones.
Zombies. Anonymous zombie attacks.
Yeah.
Who are they? I don't know, but they're zombies.
No matter how big or small, and part of this is visiting places in New Zealand which have been victimized by rotting flesh, I am fully serious. In July 1887, there was a small outbreak of three zombies in an old farmhouse near Omarama. And in the end, the house was torched with up to 17 people and or zombies inside. Going off topic-ish. That's how it concludes.
And this is a personal account, or is this from the book?
I think he's saying this is from the book. Now I gotta go look up the book. But he's saying, basically, a personal account from 1887. Yeah, definitely a zombie writing this thing then. But think about it. They're like, three zombies. Okay, how do we deal with it? Well, let's get 17 people into a house and just burn it down. That's literally overkill. That is the most literal sense of that word.
That is overkill, for sure. Yeah.
That's wild. Oh, blogs. What a time.
You got anything else to say about this place?
I do. I have one more thing that I would like to mention. And obviously, Americans, I feel like, love the New Zealand, Australian accent, that whole area. You know, there's different words. And I, you know how I like naming stuff. It really gets me going. I found this. So tramping is popular with locals and visitors alike in Omarama, due to spectacular and often rugged landscapes, as we pointed out. And I would suggest anyone not... Well, you can do it now as long as the podcast is playing. Look up Omarama. It's a beautiful space. And due to the spectacular scenery, numerous artists visit the area and several now permanent residents. But what really stands out, you might be thinking, is what is tramping? And it's basically another word for hiking.
Yeah.
Which... Man, that would put a whole new spin on the movie Lady and the Tramp.
Yeah, right. Just like, I was gonna say, hey, tramping, babe, is like because the rugged, beautiful terrain.
Yeah,
his beard was so coarse, but he was up to no good.
Lady and the Tramp is now just, hey, babe, come on this hike with me. Let's go.
Lady and the Tramp doesn't even have a love interest. It's just one woman hiking.
The female free solo type of thing, kind of, but just hiking, no climbing.
Yeah, just hiking.
But yeah, fun to know words, fun to say words.
Honestly, when I saw that fact, I was like, man, I hope tramping is something awesome. Then I clicked it. It's like, oh, it's just hiking. I was like, yeah. Oh man, I wish this was some unique activity, some New Zealand spin on walking up a hill.
Yeah, I mean, what is it? What movie is that? When Into the Wild? Is that Reese Witherspoon or the one I'm thinking of?
Into the Wild is the one where the guy goes to Alaska and dies.
Yeah, that's him. He was called Alex Supertramp because there's like leather tramps, like people walk on shoes and yeah, all that stuff. So yeah, that was the fact. That was a fact. Tramp. Not short for trampoline. Now we know.
Yeah, Omarama is home to 200 indoor trampoline courts, stadiums.
Trampoline Town would be a great name for one of those places, and two, amazing. You know how many dream rooms I designed that just had a trampoline floor? All of them. Every single one.
It'd be too much. Imagine carrying soup back to your bed, but your floor is a trampoline.
I'm pretty sure if your floor is a trampoline, you're not worried about soup.
Have you ever done slacklining?
I haven't.
Okay. It's like the combination of a trampoline and tightrope walking.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about now. No, I have terrible balance.
Yeah, I'm not the best. My brother, when we got the slack line, we went halvesies on it right away. And I could take like two or three steps. And within like 10 minutes, he could walk back and forth. He could even do it backwards. And I'm like, okay, definitely two different people, two different senses of balance.
That's got to be those inner ears, different inner ears.
All right. Are you, who are you sponsored by today? Let's do our ads.
I'm sponsored by Penn. If you need to write me a check for $1 million, grab a pen.
Good idea. Good idea.
Or a pencil and write a $1 check and I will change that for you.
I don't like pencils. The problem with pencils for me is that I've been writing in pen exclusively since the beginning of high school.
Pen boy.
And the issue is that pencils don't feel definite enough. Like, I don't like eraser marks. I'd like to write on a page and have it be like, pow, like you can really see it.
Well, the pressure. I did exclusively pencils for a while because I was very self-conscious about spelling. But then I had notebooks where I took extensive notes in some of my classes, and I'd go back like a few months later and be like, oh, because the pages rub together, things look smudged, and like I can't make out all my notes. So I was like, well, this is not a good solution if I need to hold on to something for a longer period of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have a favorite type of pen?
I don't. I know some people do. I had a teacher who loved a certain type of pen that I can't remember. I like the ones I find on the ground that are now free in mine. I found a good number of pens that way.
My recommendation is to get the Muji click pens, because Muji, these pens are like 50 cents a piece, but these pens are the best cheap pens I've ever used in my life.
Cheap.
Yep.
What about you? Who are you sponsored by today? It's weighing on you heavy. Yeah, I know. It's an emotional sponsor today.
Yeah, I know. I'm thinking. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm sponsored by sound dampening. I'm going to have to invest in something to cover these walls so I'm not echoey.
Oh, hey, check out my latest video. No, I'm just kidding. I don't have anything on that. I'm thinking.
You should.
I know. I'm thinking about it. There's plenty of that stuff on there, but yeah, that's a great sponsor. Sound dampening. Well, I'm
all right.
Ready.
Time for our next segment. I see the girls walk by in their goblin gallery.
Wait, now goblin gallery is a type of clothing?
I see the girls walk into the goblin gallery.
There you go.
Goblin gallery. That song is tight.
I know. I can listen to it.
I love that. That's my favorite Rolling Stone song.
Mine
then, like, obviously, You Can't Always Get What You Want is another absolute banger, but
mine is Like a Rolling Stone by Bob Dylan.
Really, I like Rolling Stone by Sicko Mob.
Oh, Sicko, Sicko. That's what I name my dog.
Sicko. What's up, Sicko? How you doing?
Stop barfing, Sicko. That's gross.
All right, can I do mine first this week?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, so on the last episode, I was inspired by your limerick.
Ooh.
So
limerick.
I went and wrote two limericks and try to see how I could do. Okay? So give me a rating here. The first one is not as good as the second one.
It's,
but here
the real important thing is, before you go, you got the rhyming scheme?
Yeah, I got the rhyming scheme.
Okay. Okay.
Omarama, New Zealand, full of sheep. Into the sky I have a peek. The observatory sees so far, to the moon beyond the stars. But mostly, I watch you sleep.
Wait, did you say you rhyme sheep with peak? Or did you say peep?
Oh, shit, I did. But it could be peep. It could be peep.
Yeah, that's peep the works. Nice thing of poetry. You can. I'm going to take a peep.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so that one I was okay. Like less proud of, but I think that was pretty good.
Now, I want for this time, I want the performance aspect to come in. I want you to feel like, not necessarily a Jeff Def Jam. Yeah, kind of Def Jam, like Slam Night. I get into the rhyme scheme, like emphasize it, say it, don't spray it, you know? Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Next one. This one I'm proud of. The town of Omarama at its core is about watching the gliders soar. From the mountains, you can see those fantastic sights flying free, except the ones who hit the floor.
Now they're zombies.
Yeah, now they're back from the dead. The zombies are jumping off hills. Oh my God, they have gliders.
It's good. It was good. I think the line length is an area of consideration for future limericks. I like this theme, though. I like the limericks. I do.
I enjoyed writing those. It was kind of fun. And I didn't realize, I always thought a limerick was just another word. Like, oh, that's just another word for poem. I didn't realize it was a specific thing. And I looked it up. I was like, oh, this is. And when you did him last week, I was like, oh, that's kind of fun. And it's short.
Yeah. I got one, and I wanted to make an ad here. I wanted to make an ad, and I've been wanting to figure out a good way to do this for a while. I want to add sound effects. I want to build a soundscape. So I've made an ad for Omarama. And I kind of wanted it in the spirit of Fight Milk, or Crow Milk. Well, Fight Milk is made of crows. And with this, like, it's just like, kind of aggressive, kind of like say something, sound effect, but we'll see. We'll get in there. Okay. And this is something that you can look forward to as well, Maxim, because it's the sound effects aren't in it right now. Here's just the take. Here's the take. Do you like gliding planes? No engines on this plane. Do you like tramping? That's pretty much just another word for hiking.
Yes.
Do you like clear skies and changing agriculture practices to align with the economy? Then you'll love Wikipedia's description of Omarama. Just go to en.wikipedia.org/wiki/Omarama to read. And if you're not a fan of reading, then buy a plane ticket and travel to the Mackenzie Basin of New Zealand after the global pandemic is over.
Nice.
Thanks. Yeah, it's going to sound different. Your reaction is not going to be proportionate to the end result of that ad.
Okay, let me redo it. Holy shit. I got to go to Omarama.
But yeah, I'm getting, I got to figure out, I got to go to my sound sources and find good, inspiration. I really in the future want to do something human made this or animal made this, which because there's a place called freesounds.org, and I would sometimes just like mine for different sounds, and I came across people doing great animal impressions and some of the worst animal impressions you'll ever hear, and it is so funny.
You should put that ad needs one explosion at least.
Oh yeah, I feel like multiple explosions.
That's how we do it.
Do you like gliding? No engines on this plane. Yeah, this. Awesome. Yeah, it's something to look forward to a little bit. Some excitement, some fun, a new challenge.
Hell yeah!
Hell yeah!
All right, well, that's all we got for you guys this week. Thank you for tuning in. I apologize again for the audio quality while I get settled into this place. I don't want to sound too much like I'm recording in a little metal box.
No, we'll figure it out. It'll be a nice project to work on this week. The D-reverb.
The D-reverb, yep.
D-reverb. My roommates actually abbreviate everything. And so if that starts sneaking into my subconscious and I start doing it, just be prepared.
Totally prepared. All right. You guys can follow us on Instagram at SD Radio Pod. You can email us at smalltownradiopodcast@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at MaximumAlan, and you can catch Connor on the ST Radio Pod page, because you won't spell his last name, and just follow the links, follow the clues.
Then if you're interested in booking a curbside comedy show in the Northeast, myself and Trevor Glassman are booking out shows for this month, obviously within guidelines for COVID. But let me know. Let me know. It's been a good time. We've raised over $3,000 for charity up to this point, and we'd love to continue to do that while just bringing the laughs.
Awesome. Yeah, go book them and hire Connor. All right. Well, that's all we got for you guys. Thank you for tuning in. We will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Here's just the take. Here's the take. Do you like gliding planes? No engines on this plane. Do you like tramping? That's pretty much just another word for hiking. Do you like clear skies and changing agriculture practices to align with the economy? Then you'll love Wikipedia's description of Omarama. Just go to en.wikipedia.org/wiki/Omarama to read. And if you're not a fan of reading, then buy a plane ticket and travel to the Mackenzie Basin of New Zealand after the global pandemic is over.